You understand what that song's saying? Yeah, we all put on a little Christian face when we're in trouble and say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, anyway. And that's not true, heartfelt Christianity. God wants us to say, I'm hurting. God wants to hear us say, this is more than I can bear. Amen. Amy Grant says she wrote that song because that's what God spoke to her. That the people out there pretending that everything's all right when they're hurt really bad inside. And that's where they come to him. They come to him with a lie. So, just keep that in mind. If you listen to every song that was played today, each one had a different meaning. Each one was telling you where you're at, where you'd like to be at, and where God's at in the whole mix. It's time that the body of Christ is starting to listen to what God is saying through song and understand that we're okay as long as we understand that we're in God's hands and He's changing and rearranging us. Don't forget, starting tomorrow is the revival for 2 weeks, so we'll be here every day. If you come, I want you to come expecting God to perform a miracle in your life. I don't just want you to come because after all the church is open every night. I want you to come expecting. Because it's only as you come expecting that you receive. Well, Father God, I ask a special blessing over the word this morning. I want you to open up each spiritual ear this morning and each spiritual heart. Let them hear what you're trying to tell them, and let the seed sink down into their heart, Father God, and let it take root and let it grow good fruit in their lives. And Father God, I ask a special blessing for all those that come to sit at your table this morning and to drink of your new wine and to eat the fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do not miss out on what God is doing at this given time. As I was praying, he told me to tell you that. Please do not miss out on what God is doing at this given time. Because you'll be one of those standing on the wayside saying, oh, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I move when God told me to move? And you have to look at what's going on around the world and quit your complaining about your little trifle things that goes on every day. Get out of yourself. Get out of your selfishness and start putting your eyes upon Jesus. Aren't you sick and tired of hearing Christians say, well, what about me? Look at poor me. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Well, look at Jesus. Why did he have to go to that cross and die for you? I want you to quit complaining. Life isn't about complaining. Life is about praising. And if God can't trust you in little things, in other words, if you can't do something little for God without complaining about your life, not the job he put you in, but about your life, then God's never going to exalt you to anything bigger. We're all going to go through hard times. Doesn't matter if you're in the world or in Christ, we're all going to go through hard times. I'm going to teach you about 3 steps to winning the battle in the mind. I'm just hearing God just saying, there's some of you in here, you're so negative, you can never see anything positive. You're so negative that you can't ever see anything positive. So if that's you, you need to get out of that negative attitude and you need to start looking at the positive side of walking with God. What if Jesus walked around negative all his life? We wouldn't have the opportunity we have right now, would we? We would not have the hope that one day we're going to sit in heavenly places. The time we live in is unlike any the world has ever known. We can call it the age of terror, because in this season, fear has launched a massive assault on mankind. But the outward threats are nothing compared to the inner turmoil with which many struggle. The outward threats are nothing compared to the inner turmoil with which many struggle. Warfare in both the natural and the spiritual realms is taking place on a scale the church has never experienced. Will we be overcomers or will we be overcome? I can stand and look at all your faces, and you might look real cute and smiley, but what is the turmoil that's going on inside of you? What is that thing that's raging with inside of you, trying to beat you up, trying to destroy you? It's what that statement meant. Like God always told me, the church has many faces that they put on. You know, let's quit putting on faces. Let's just be a child of God. If we're hurting, we're hurting. You know, if we're happy, we're happy. Now, I didn't say come in with a long face. But, you know, if we're happy, we're happy. And, you know, the hurts, you were the one song, God can take the hurt. He can take the pain. The reason why you're still carrying it is because you haven't given it totally and completely over to God. And God's not in control. You're still in control of your life or the situation. All right, I said, but the outward threats are nothing compared to the inner turmoil with which many struggle. Warfare in both the natural and the spiritual realms is taking place on a scale the church has never experienced. The question, will we be overcomers or will we be overcome? The actual battleground is not a geographic location. It's in our minds that the fiercest battles take place. You know, I've been teaching about the mind, the battle of the mind, ever since I've been teaching. But right now, it just seems like it's really, really come alive in my spirit of really how hard the battles in the mind really are and the destruction that they make. Hebrews 12:3 says, encourages us to consider the opposition Jesus endured. Hear that? Encourages us to consider the opposition which Jesus endured from sinful men so that we do not become wearied and faint in our minds. God has been preparing you to win the battle of the mind. God has been preparing you to win the battle of the mind, and He doesn't want you to grow weary and lose heart. And right now is when He's bringing all this stuff out about the mind. Right now, it is where He's revealing things about the mind to the deliverance team. He hasn't revealed it before, just bits and pieces, but now He's going into great depth of it. We've all known we've had a battle in the mind, but we did not know the extent that the battle, how deep it truly went, and what's really going on in our minds. If you lose this battle, you will be easy prey to any form of terror. If you lose the battle of the mind, you're going to be easy prey to any form of terror. But if you consider Jesus and put His word first in your life, you will discover scriptural keys that will make you victorious in this hour. The victors in this battle will cross over a new threshold, see this, into a greater dimension of God's glory and power. The victors in this battle of the mind will cross over a new threshold into a greater dimension of God's glory and power. They will experience the church's finest hour of spiritual authority and massive harvest. It is important for us to win. And I don't know about you, but lately, you know, God will tell me, go to this scripture and read this, and go to that scripture and read that. And that thing comes alive to me. I've seen more stuff in those scriptures than I've ever seen in my life. But it says, God tells me, I want you to read this scripture right now, or read this scripture, you know. If you hear God tell you to read a scripture, get your Bible open and read that scripture, because at that given time, God wants to show you something very vital that's in His word that you need to give to the people. Don't say, well, let me finish playing my tablet, or let me finish watching this TV program. Let me finish my meal. Go and read the scripture. Remember Jesse Duplantis, he was at that restaurant, he had this big thick steak in front of him. Remember that? And God said, Jesse, and he loves steaks. He said, Jesse, I want you to go back to your hotel room. He said, but I haven't eaten my steak yet. He said, I want you to go right now. And he said, he looked at that steak and listened to the voice of God. And he got up and he said, I got to go, guys. And what happened to him? God took him to heaven. Gave him great revelation. When he come down, he was shining the glory of God over him. We went to that meeting that night. It was powerful. He gave up his steak. He didn't know what God was going to do to him in his motel room. He said, go back to your motel room. See? Double weariness. The enemy's plan in this age of terror is to cause severe mental exhaustion. And don't you see that in the guys, people you're doing deliverance on? Severe mental exhaustion. Wearied and faint are two words for the same condition. Wearied and faint. Because the author placed them side by side in the same sentence, indicates an intensity that we can call double weariness. It produces discouragement, anxiety, and depression in God's people. And if every one of you sitting in here, you could say that right now you're right there at this place. Because if you're really called of God and have a great calling upon your life, you're going to find out that you're being fought like you've never been fought before. And like we said before, the battle starts in your mind. If you don't get take care of it, it goes down into your heart, and there it takes root. Those who are mentally weary may become incapable and useless. And an exhausted mind can't make a decision, communicate, or help anyone else. You see that? An exhausted mind can't make a decision, communicate, or help anyone else. You can be so mentally tired that you become physically sick. The tactic of the enemy is to bombard your mind until you are so exhausted spiritually that you lose your grip. How many can say that you were just about there? Some place in your walk with God, I've been there many times. And I've had to fight and fight and fight to get out of that thing. I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, I'm so spiritual. I've gotten there. And I've been there recently. And I know it's a battle. I know the enemy's trying to take me out. So I fight and I fight and I fight until he has to leave. We just don't sit there and give up. Say, oh, well, he's greater than me. No, he's not greater than you. He's not great. He has no power and authority. The only power and authority he has is what you give him. Yes, he might be fighting you, and yes, he might be making you sick, but he does not have the final say-so. He just does not. You have to, if you have pain in your body, you have to lay in bed or sit in a chair or wherever you have to say, I'm not receiving this pain. You have to leave in the name of Jesus, and you have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting until finally the pain's gone. Are you listening here? All right, I said the tactic of the enemy is to bombard your mind until you are so exhausted spiritually that you lose your grip. Then you will relinquish all the spiritual territory you have gained when you come to that place. Come on. So you can't give in to that place. You can't allow the enemy to have any territory whatsoever. The primary weapon used against your mind in this age of terror is voices. Voices will bombard you till you give in to them. Once they get a foothold, your mind will become double weary. Soon you will fall prey to a weakened mind. All right, those voices could come from your brother or your sister. Could come from your mother or your father. People speaking, you know what God's told you. People speaking just the opposite at you. And did they really hear God? Are you sure they're a true prophet? You know, it goes on and on. These voices go on and on and on. You have to right now determine that your mind is not given over to Satan. Your mind is the mind of Christ. And if you're not going to listen to all the, if God has told you something, then get it into your spirit and don't let all these voices that are speaking against that thing cause you to turn from what God has called you to do. The enemy's going to try to make you look like a total fool. He's going to make people around about you, he's going to say, have you totally lost your mind? But you can't let them sway you. You have to stay the course. You know, when I was working on this, I thought about before I was born again. You know, I knew what I was, well, I knew what I wanted, I knew where I was going, and I went there. I wasn't, you know, I was a good person, but I just didn't let anybody sway me. Then after I became born again, I lost my mind, because then I felt like I had to let everybody use me as a doormat. Have you ever done that? You know, so then you had to just let them do what they wanted to do and say what they wanted to say. After all, you were supposed to be humble, you know, and all that kind of junk. Well, I said to God, I can't believe I lost my mind when I got born again. Come on. See, if I'd have stayed on the same road I was before I was born again, because I was on a good road. You know, and I wouldn't let anybody come into my house and do things that weren't godly. And then after I got born again, I have to give them grace. Come on. And slowly but surely, I lost the foothold that I had in my own home, and the enemy started taking over. It happens in your life too. Don't tell me, don't look at me like that. It happens in your life too. Then you have to turn around and regroup and understand, hey, God didn't tell you to lose your mind when you got saved. He didn't tell you to be, God told me, I never called you to be a doormat. You know. Right is right and wrong is wrong. I don't care if you're born again or not. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Voices of the world around you are speaking constantly to anyone who will listen. Thousands of voices shout at you every day through the news media. All right, look, I said, voice of the world around you are speaking constantly to anyone who will listen. Let you just do one thing, and somebody said, oh, and you call yourself godly. Don't they say that? You know, come on. You know why they do that? That's the devil. He wants you to let him have his own way. And so they'll do stuff like that, and then you think, oh, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm not godly. So you let them do what they want to do. That's wrong. That's totally wrong. Other distracting voices include those of friends and family members who don't understand your commitment to Jesus and who want to persuade you to take a compromise stand. Isn't that how it works? Other distracting voices include those of friends and family members who don't understand your commitment to Jesus and who want to persuade you to take a compromise stand. You know, for Christopher Gore to stay in this church, he's had to go against every devil in hell and his whole family. He's had to really fight hard to stay in this church. And I forgot how long he's been here, 15 years or something like that. But, you know, I really look at him and I think, you know, this boy had to fight. He had to fight his family, his friends, you know, his co-workers and everything because they said I wasn't right. And I was leading him astray, but he knew differently. Come on. They're going to do the very same thing to you. They did it to Jesus. So why do you think if you're really a child of God, the same things that Jesus went through, you're going to go through. You might not have to take the whipping. You might not have to carry your cross up the hill. You might not have to hang on it, but you're going to go through the same thing Jesus did, just in a different fashion. Then there are the voices in the spirit realm, using the most outrageous statements they can badger your mind until mental exhaustion begins. Oh, you missed it this time. You flubbed up. God's never going to use you again. Come on. All those voices keep talking to you, trying to make you believe that God's finished with you. Then you hear God's voice, I'm not finished with you. Don't listen to those voices. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't sit still. Your wife will say, you think God's going to use you? Well, just wait and see. That's the devil. That's the Antichrist. Don't listen to that voice. You listen to the voice of God. What would he prophesy and speak into your life? That's what he wants to do. All the other voices are trying to get you out of the will of the Father. All these voices from the natural and the spiritual realms are potentially harmful. But the most powerful weapon we will ever have to fight against will be the voice of us. Us, ourself. Have you ever noticed how often you talk to yourself? Not only do we think a lot of thoughts that can bring on mental fatigue, we also speak a lot of negative things out loud. No one else is around, so we have no excuse. We have to admit we were talking to me. Come on. Sometimes Brother Larry will be out and study, and I'll say, who's out there talking to you? And he's out there talking out loud to himself. You know? But how many of us talk inside to ourselves? Come on. Many times you will be bombarded by voices. Usually they speak words to disqualify you. You're only a woman. You can't preach. Who do you think you are trying to minister to people? You will gain a real victory when you realize those voices were neither the devil nor men telling you that you could not minister. They were you speaking to you. And I got to say, hey, I wrote that because that's me. Amen. Come on. What makes you think you can bring the glory in? What makes you think God is still going to use you? You hear what I'm saying? You messed up. And now you think that God's just going to turn his head. No, God ain't going to turn his head. He's going to smack you really good until you get it right and then keep on using you. Come on, this is the way it works. So there's some of those voices are you speaking to you. And don't blame it on anybody else. Just get a grip on it and quit speaking to you. If you're going to speak to you, speak everything positive. Amen. Don't just cope. You need to conquer. It is time to stop simply coping with the voices that create mental weariness and battle fatigue. God is calling us to conquer in the battle for our minds. We need to heed Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you just hold your head and said, this mind is a mind of Christ? Satan, you get out of it right now. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority in my mind. I'm a child of God, and so is my mind. I break down all these little villages and kingdoms and everything else I hear that you have in there. I've heard all this, these little buildings that are in there and these little kingdoms in there. I think, good grief, where's room for thought? You know, the devil has so much room, takes up too much. We need to evict him, don't we? Give him an eviction notice. Say, Satan, you're no longer in my mind. My mind is the mind of Christ. Have you ever renovated an old house? You don't just put a fresh coat of paint on the walls, install new light fixtures, and lay new carpet. Often you have to gut the entire thing, sometimes tearing down old walls and peeling off hundreds of layers of wallpaper. Then you can tackle the more fun task of choosing a color scheme and new appliances. It's the same way with our minds. To renew them, we have to remove the old thought patterns before new ones can be laid. Everybody said, well, I keep going back into sin. Well, dummy, get that thought pattern out of your mind. Cast it out. I fight thoughts every day that come into my mind that are not godly, that are trying to tell me God's finished with me. I'm too old, this and that, and the other. You're going to die before your ministry's finished. You know, these thoughts go on and on and on and on. I don't sit there and say, oh, well, I'm done. No, I tell the devil where he can go. And he's not going to stay in another compartment of my mind. He's going to go straight to you know where. All right? You need to do the very same things. That's why you keep going back into your old sin, because you don't get rid of that thought pattern. Work on your thought patterns. The world exerts a very powerful influence that touches every area of our lives, does it not? Letting the voices of the world dictate your thought life will soon produce outward results. Letting the voices of the world dictate your thought life will soon produce outward thought results. Your relationships, your finances, and even your body can be affected. You can become so mentally exhausted that you become a casualty of the war. Come on. You know, Barbara here is in real estate, that she could get a voice saying, you're not going to sell any house today. You're not going to sell any house today. You're going to go broke. You're not going to be able to sell any house today. Now, she can listen to that voice, and she can let it go ahead and keep talking to her till she believes it, or she can contend with it and say, get out of here, you lying devil. I'm going to sell twice as many houses today. Come on. I'm going to prosper in this just like God told me I was going to. If you can't quit smoking, the devil's going to say, you'll never quit smoking. Yeah, and it's going to take you to hell. Devil, get out of here. I will quit smoking because God has power. I have power and authority through Christ Jesus that I can quit smoking. See what I'm saying? Counteract that voice with something positive from God's word. A mind conformed to the world is a weary, faint mind. But a mind being renewed by God's word will be progressively renovated until you are conformed to the image of Christ. How many of you find out right now, in this dispensation of time, you have more thoughts going through this little pea brain than you've ever had in your life? You know, the enemy's really working overtime, isn't he? Because this is where it's at. It's in the mind right now. And that is why God had brought the thing about the mind to our attention. And he's bringing it out more and more in deliverances. Because this is where the enemy's at. He's in our mind. And he knows that if we don't take control of it, he has us. All right? He said, God's saying your thought life is in danger right now. If you don't take care of your thought life, it's going to take care of you. Okay? The transformation process. The process of transformation is exciting, but there are three steps you must take for it to occur. Number one, allow God's word to set you apart and discipline you. Number two, set your mind in the right place. And number three, consistently behold and reflect the Lord's glory. So number two, set your mind in the right place. You know, if you were perverted, don't put your mind in perversion. Put it in the word. You see what I'm saying? Put your mind in the right place. Everybody in here has been in perversion. You know that if you think on it, you're going to do it. And if you do it one time, then the devil's going to come back again. You'll do it again, and you'll do it again, and you'll do it again. You have to say, nope, I don't go there. I moved from that address. I don't go there no more. And you're not going to make me go back there. They tore down the building. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to go back to because I now have the mind of Christ. Come on. The transformation process, is that where I'm at? Or where am I at, Nancy? Okay, I see where I'm at now here. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:17. Sanctify or separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:17. Sanctify or separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. You must let the word of God separate you from the voices of the world. And this is a problem in the body of Christ. People aren't doing that, are they? They're not allowing the separation to occur. You have to separate yourself from the world. Mary and Martha, two sisters described in the Gospels who were friends of Jesus, both had the opportunity to have their minds renewed. But their response to the word was different. Let's look at Luke 10:38-42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman, this is Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I'm going to have to tell on Brett and Nancy because I said the other day, I said, God, Brett and Nancy just are not the cleanest people in the world. Because they have all these kids and all this work, you know, and everything backs up on them. And God told me, and I was sitting right back there by Brother Chris Lynch, and I told him, and he said, but there are Marys. They have chosen a good thing. And that's to set at my feet, and I'm pleased with that. So I shut my mouth in a hurry. Amen. So, you know, if you've chosen a good thing, then that's a good thing, and you stay there. See, I tell what I think. And then Brother Brett said to me when we had a meeting the other day, he said, you prophesied that over me one time. And you said people are going to get upset about it, right? Is that what you said? I said, well, how about that? See, I forgot I prophesied that, so God had to remind me that I did. Martha's mind was distracted and anxious about many things. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, the living word of God. In doing this, she was setting herself apart as a disciple. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't go home and don't do your housework now. So in doing this, she was setting herself apart as a disciple. A disciple is one whose mind is being disciplined and renewed. Mary was being transformed by sitting at the feet of the Word of God. You know, when I first started doing the song service, remember I said I got so sick and tired of hearing, listening to songs, and now I don't want to quit. See, that was the enemy. He did not want me listening to the songs that Jesus wanted sung, because if he did, then we were going to go a step higher. So he actually made me think, I get so sick and tired of listening to these songs, and now I just love it. And Gabriel said, Mom, I've heard you play this song over and over and over again, and now we're singing it, he said. But, you know, this is how it works. When God tells you to do something, the enemy's going to come into your mind and tell you, oh, you really don't want to do this now, do you? And like me, I even said, I got so sick and tired of it. See, I gave in to the thought of the enemy, right? Let's be honest about it. But then I said, now I've got to do this, so I have to listen to these songs. Now I don't want to quit. See, I had to make the decision, I'm going to listen to these songs so that I can get a song service together that God wants put together. All right? As you obey the word and choose to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, Colossians 3:2 tells us that, you'll become less and less conformed to the world's patterns and its voices. As you obey the word and choose to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, you'll become less and less conformed to the world's patterns and its voices. It is not a quick fix. It's a battle. Come on. You don't see boxers get in the ring and knock somebody out first blow. Well, sometimes they might, but you really don't most of the time, right? They have to fight and fight and fight to the end until finally one of them says either quits or gets knocked out. It is not a quick fix, but you will experience a progressive improvement in your mind. Now, see, when you all got excited and come in here and the spirit was moving, oh, I won all this, blah, 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 blah. You did not understand you were stepping into a battlefield, did you? You did not understand that there was going to be a battle raging in your mind that you would just about take you out. But as you persevered, as you stood your ground, you won the battle. Or you might be still winning the battle. But the victory is always yours as you determine in your heart that the enemy has got to leave. God told me last night, he said, you know, daughter, you're the one that stops the signs, wonders, and miracles in the church because you keep thinking you don't have the anointing to do it. I said, well, I tell you right now, Father, I believe that I have the anointing to do it. And he was right. I kept thinking, I must have done something bad, so I really don't have the anointing anymore. Isn't that dumb? So how many of you have done that? You might have had a negative thought, and you made somebody you should be ministered to, so I can't minister to him. I just had a negative thought. Come on. Be honest with yourself. That's how you renew your mind. That's where you defeat the enemy. When you're honest with yourself, say, hey, you know, I gave in to your dumb thoughts, and I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to do everything Jesus tells me to do. All right, I said, it is not a quick fix, but you will experience a progressive improvement in your mind. You will discover that the voices fade away. You will discover the voices fade away, and the Word of God takes preeminence in your mind. God is getting ready to move us into a powerful move of His Spirit. And God wants each one of us to have an intimate relationship with Him. He's pulling us to Himself. Now you can either go quietly or you can kick and carry on like a fool and then eventually go quietly or just lose out altogether. Come on. I'm still being pulled to God. We will all be pulled to God until the day we die because we have not entered into everything that God is. And there's so much power and anointing in the things of God. And He can't download all that into us at one time. Our bodies could not take all that. So it's little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, that God drops things into our spirit man. You'll start living 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See that? We are all being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Not all of a sudden. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's plan for you is for you to win in this age of terror and start reflecting His glory more and more. His plan is for you to win. Win. W-I-N. Not lose. There is a double cure for the doubly weary mind. The writer of Hebrews 12:3 warns about it this. Just think of Him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against Himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. Consider everything that Jesus went through is what this is saying against your trials. So that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. One time when I was really fainting in my mind, God said, I want you to go into my word and read everything that happened to my son, Jesus. And then I want you to understand if it happened to him and you want to be like him, then it's going to happen to you also. That kept me from going under. Are you understanding this? But we all sit here boo-hooing and carrying on like a fool. And really and truly, if you consider what Jesus went through, what you're going through is nothing. It really is absolutely nothing. But we think the world's coming to an end, don't we? Come on. I'm 19 years old and I'm still stuck at home. Well, stuck at home. Stick it out. Be happy at home. At least you're not thrown out on the street with a cardboard box like I was at the age of 10. Come on. Thank God you have caring parents that want to keep you at home. I don't know. I can't think of any other thing. But there's a whole, the kids just upset me. You're so dissatisfied, and really and truly, you don't have anything to complain about. I'm going to send you overseas. Let you go over there for a year. Then maybe you'll enjoy what you have at home. Being sold to sex slaves, things. Getting your hands cut off. Getting your father, having your father kill you just because you didn't wear your veil just right. Get out of here. I don't want to hear none of your excuses. I lost my place too. Isaiah 26, is that where I'm at? 3 and 4 contains a cure for this overwhelming mental fatigue. And Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in y'all the Lord is everlasting strength. If your mind is stayed upon the Lord, then you're going to be in perfect peace. You might fuss about something, but still know you're in peace about it. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Well, I looked at Aaron there, and he looked at me and sort of grinned. Aaron and Adam had to uproot from their wonderful home with their wonderful mother who took care of them. They had to come here, and they have to do their own washing, do their own ironing, do their own cooking, do everything else. I haven't heard him complain, though. But if you are, stop it. Mom, will you please come? Mommy, will you please come and do my laundry? You know, God moved you out of that. Might have put you in a hard place. I don't know anything about him. I don't know what they're doing. He might have put you in a hard place, but it's to make you a great man of God. All right? Brother Alan just knew he wasn't going to lose his home, and so he ended up down in the basement of the church, fighting the water every now and then. Don't quit fussing. If you're fussing, quit fussing, because God knew where he had to get you, where to put you to get your attention. He knew where to put you to make you, make you understand that he knows best for you. At least you're not out there dying in a car floating down the road, and you're not in the other city where state wherever it's at where they're doing all that violence and shooting, and you're right now you're still safe. So while you're still safe, get strong in the Lord, get your minds renewed, so that as the enemy attacks us here in Delaware, we won't run around like chickens with our head cut off. We will be strong towers so they can run into. All right? In the Hebrew language, perfect peace is a double word, means shalom, shalom. I love that song that we sing, shalom. Shalom means health, happiness, well-being, peace, prosperity, safety, and soundness. It covers every area of your life, mental, emotional, physical, and relational. You hear that? The peace of God prevents your mind from giving in to fear and dread. If you're walking in fear, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. You need to get your mind renewed. A person who trusts the Lord has a steadfast mind. Hear that? A person who trusts the Lord has a steadfast mind. Here, the word for mind means more than just your ability to think. It includes your creative imagination. It includes your creative imagination. God's called you to be a song writer. Well, you have to get a creative imagination to be able to write the songs. You have to have a creative imagination to write your books. You have to have a creative imagination to let the Spirit fall on you so you can play an instrument. Everybody said, well, I just picked it up. You did not. Shut up. You know, God dropped that gift on you. Come on. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, Adam and Eve heard only one voice. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We only heard one voice, and that of their Father God. Can you imagine how clear and steadfast their minds were? Isn't that awesome? Did you ever think about that? They had the world by the tail, and they blew it. Aha, but some of us in here have done the very, everybody in here has done the very same thing. We've had the world by the tail, and we've blown it. In some way, shape, or form. So let's not get upset with Adam and Eve. Their ability to think creatively as they managed the garden must have been phenomenal. Isn't that, wouldn't that be wonderful? To name all those animals and everything like Adam did. Never a mental block, never wanting to give up and let go of all God had given them. They never had a mental block. They were with God, and they were at peace over a stupid apple. I don't know if I'll eat another apple after thinking about that. Amen. That is not until the voice of the serpent disrupted their peace by planting questions in their minds. Now, isn't that when you get out of peace, when the enemy starts talking to you? He puts all those questions. Are you really delivered? Did God really call you? Does your wife really love you? You know, it goes on. Are your children going to be saved? It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Well, God said he's bringing the backsliders in this year. God said all of our children are going to serve him this year. God said, God said, God said. That's what we should be thinking on, and not what the enemy is putting in our mind. God said that your mind is renewed. God said you are delivered, you're healed. You know, God said. Let's quit thinking about what the enemy says. Amen. Many Christians have a hard time thinking creatively and are unable to find solutions to their own problems, let alone come up with ways to reach others around them. That's an amen. Instead of fighting petty battles in yourself, your home, or your finances, you need to be set free to use your creative imagination. God can give you strategies to touch cities and entire nations. When you trust in the Lord, your mind will be kept in perfect peace and your creative juices will flow. Come on. So if God has called you to do something and nothing's flowing, do you have any peace? Think about it. Winners in the battle. The attack of double weariness has been battled and won by God's people for centuries. It's been won. We can do this thing. God isn't asking us to do something we can't do. When David and his men found Ziklag burned and their families taken captive, the Bible says they wept until they had no strength left. David's loyal men turned on David in bitterness and wanted to stone him. The Bible shows how David resisted the attack. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, He, David, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. As he chose to trust the Lord, God's double peace strengthened him. He sought God, won the battle, and recovered all. See, this is when we run into a problem, instead of us looking at the problem and fighting with the people, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. Amen. The great Old Testament prophet Elijah won a huge battle against Jezebel and her false prophets. He should have rejoiced and basked in the victory. Instead, when Jezebel threatened to kill him, Elijah gave in to mental weariness. Exhausted by the constant mental battle, he asked God to let him die. I did that one time. Then I said, no, I don't want to die. I really don't. Just forget I even said that. And how many of you in your mind have said, God, just let me die. Get me out of this mess. Well, I'm glad y'all didn't, but I did. He needed another voice to silence the threats of Jezebel. He needed God's voice. It came in a gentle whisper, bringing him hope and direction. And as the voice of the Lord came to Elijah, the double weariness left him, and he received his marching orders to fulfill his destiny. And in 1 Kings 19:1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets of Baal with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. In other words, if I don't kill you tomorrow, you know, let the gods do it to me what they want. Then he was afraid and arose and went for his life. See, he didn't think about God would be with him, right? Then he was afraid and rose and went for his life and came to Beersheba of Judah, over 80 miles and out of Jezebel's realm, and left his servant there. But he himself, we need to quit running from Jezebel. We no longer run from Jezebel. We know a Jezebel is in our midst. We need to destroy him or her. We need to destroy it, that spirit, and quit running from it. Say, oh no, we got a Jezebel in our midst. Well, get it out of your midst. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a lone broom or juniper tree and asked that he might die. He said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. As he lay asleep under the broom or juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a bottle of water at his head, and he ate and drank and lay down again. I mean, look what God did to this man. The angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Right there, you can go in a 40-day fast. Right? He ate and drank of that food and then went for 40 days without eating. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God said to that some of you in here, "What are you doing here in this mess?" And he replied, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." See, they're feeling sorry for himself, assuming something that was not real. And he said, "Go out and stand on the," and God said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. See that? And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness and a still, small voice. When I was born again, I read this. God, I want to see the thunder and I want to see the fire and I want to see the lightning. He said, "You're not going to see anything." He said, "It's always going to be a still, small voice between you and I." So if you're asking for all these manifestations of all this other stuff, quit it. And just let God's still small voice talk to you. When Elijah heard the voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to destroy it." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." God wouldn't even listen to all that junk. He just gave him an assignment. So a lot of this stuff we say to God, he didn't even listen to it. He's just going to give you another assignment, right? And anoint Jehu, son of Nimish, to be king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of the Shaphat of whatever, to be prophet in your place. Okay, you want to die and come on home? I'm going to go and have you anoint another prophet to take your place. Then I'm going to take you on home. And that's what he did, didn't he? So you better watch and ask God to let you die. He might say, "All right, Jesus, go and I'll give your mantle to somebody else, and you want to die? I'll just take you. I'll let the other person carry on what you didn't finish. Then when you're up in heaven, you look down and say, "I can't believe I was supposed to be doing all that. And here I'm up here. Running the streets of gold. And I'd rather be down there fighting the good fight of faith." Amen. Come on. "This may be the age of terror, but it's not a time for you to be distracted, discouraged, or dismayed. God has a destiny for you. But the voices of the world, the devil, and yourself will continue to harass you unless you say no to terror's voice. It's time to silence the other voices and let the renovation process begin. If you have been living a mentally defeated, exhausted life, the double cure is for you. Choose the better thing, as Mary did, and submit to the discipline of the Word of God. Set your mind on things above. Spend time daily reflecting on Jesus, and soon you'll be reflecting his glory from the inside out. Spend time daily reflecting on Jesus. See, instead of reflecting on Jesus, you're thinking about, you know what? They're trying to take my place. You know what? They're no longer using me in the ministry. You know what? They're all against me. Now, why would you set up and let all that junk go through your mind? Why not just think about the things of Jesus and what he said he's going to do with you and go on and have the peace of the God and move on? Set your mind on things above. Spend time daily reflecting on Jesus, and soon you'll be reflecting his glory from the inside out. Then the double peace of God will guard and keep you all in all your ways. Instead of double weariness, creativity will abound and thoughts of terror and dread will be far from you. Double victory is yours today. Double victory is yours today. Renew your mind and stay in perfect peace. Now, I read all that and said all that and did all that, but did you receive all that? Did you really receive all that? It's up to you whether or not you receive. It's not up to me to keep cramming that down your throat. I'm not inside of you. I'm not inside of your heart. I can't make that seed grow and produce fruit. You can cause a seed to not grow at all and just lay dormant in there until it just withers up and dies. But it's up to you today. Are you going to allow God to renew your mind? You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to give God permission to do whatever he has to do. But you have to fight the good fight of faith and get your mind renewed. If you want your mind renewed and want the strength to renew your mind and want the right mindset, come on up. And God's going to touch your mind in a different way than he's ever touched it before. He's going to bring you to a new height of glory that you've never been to before. And you're going to find out your strategies for life are going to be totally and completely different, because now you have the mind of Christ, and you're giving him permission this morning to move in and to take over. You must get rid of the old mindsets that you carried in here this morning. You must. They're going to take you under. I'm hearing God say there's no other way but God's way. Any other way is going to destroy you.